You're listening to Wikisleep, a podcast designed to help you relax and unwind through calm, quiet storytelling. I'm your host, Britt Buntaine. Today's story is about James Dean, a cultural icon and actor famous for his rebel image. James Dean was born on February 8, 1931, in Marion, Indiana. He was the only child of Mildred Marie and Winton Dean. Dean claimed that his mother was partly Native American and that his father belonged to a line of original settlers that could be traced back to the Mayflower. 6 years after his father had left farming to become a dental technician, Dean moved with his family to Santa Monica, California. He was enrolled at Brentwood Public School in Los Angeles, but transferred soon afterward to the McKinley Elementary School. The family spent several years there, and by all accounts, Dean was very close to his mother. Sadly, in 1938, she was suddenly struck with acute stomach pain and quickly began to lose weight. She died of uterine cancer when Dean was just 9 years old. Unable to care for his son, Dean's father sent him to live with his aunt and uncle, Hortense and Marcus Winslow, on their farm in Fairmount, Indiana, where he was raised in their Quaker household. His father served in World War II and later remarried. In his adolescence, Dean sought the counsel and friendship of a local Methodist pastor, the Reverend James DeWeird. DeWeird had a formative influence on him, especially in relation to his interests in bullfighting, car racing, and theater. According to biographer Billy J. Harbin, Dean also had an intimate relationship with his pastor, which began in his senior year of high school and endured for many years. Dean's overall performance in school was exceptional, and he was a popular student. He played on the baseball and varsity basketball teams, studied drama, and competed in public speaking through the Indiana High School Forensic Association. After graduating from Fairmount High School in May 1949, he moved back to California with his dog, Max, to live with his father and stepmother. He enrolled in Santa Monica College and majored in pre-law. He then transferred to UCLA for one semester, where he changed his major to drama, which resulted in estrangement from his father. While at UCLA, Dean was picked from a group of 350 actors to portray Malcolm in Macbeth. At that time, he also began acting in James Whitmore's workshop. In January 1951, he dropped out of college to pursue a full-time career as an actor. His first television appearance was in a Pepsi commercial. He quit college to act full-time and was cast in his first speaking part as John the Beloved Disciple in Hill Number 1, an Easter television special dramatizing the resurrection of Jesus. He worked at the widely filmed Iverson Movie Ranch in the Chatsworth area of Los Angeles during production of the program. Dean subsequently obtained 3 walk-on roles in movies. As a soldier in Fixed Bayonets in 1951, a boxing cornerman in Sailor Beware, and a youth in Has Anybody Seen My Gal, both released in 1952. While struggling to gain roles in Hollywood, Dean also worked as a parking lot attendant at CBS Studios, during which time he met Rogers Brackett. Brackett was a radio director for an advertising agency who offered him professional help and guidance in the film industry, as well as a place to stay. He opened doors for Dean and helped him land his first starring role on Broadway in See the Jaguar. In July 1951, he appeared on Alias Jane Doe, which was produced by Brackett. In October of that year, following the encouragement of actor James Whitmore and the advice of Brackett, Dean moved to New York City. There, he worked as a stunt tester for the game show Beat the Clock, but was subsequently fired for allegedly performing the tasks too quickly. He also appeared in episodes of several CBS television series, The Web, Studio One, and Lux Video Theater, before gaining admission to the Actors Studio to study method acting under Lee Strasberg. In 1952, he had a non-speaking bit part as a pressman in the movie Deadline USA, starring Humphrey Bogart. Proud of these accomplishments, Dean referred to the Actors Studio as the greatest school of the theater. He wrote to his family that it houses great people like Marlon Brando, Julie Harris, Arthur Kennedy, Mildred Dunnock, Eli Wallach. Very few get into it. It is the best thing that can happen to an actor. I am one of the youngest to belong. There, he was classmates and close friends with Carol Baker, alongside whom he would eventually star in Giant in 1956. Dean's career picked up and he performed in further episodes of such early 1950s television shows as Kraft Television Theater, Robert Montgomery Presents, The United States Steel Hour, Danger, and General Electric Theater. One early role for the CBS series Omnibus in the episode Glory in the Flower saw Dean portraying the type of disaffected youth he would later portray in Rebel Without a Cause in 1955. The summer 1953 program featured the song Crazy Man, Crazy, one of the first dramatic TV programs to feature rock and roll. Positive reviews for Dean's 1954 theatrical role as Bashir, a pandering homosexual North African houseboy in an adaptation of Andre Gide's book, The Immoralist, led to more interest from Hollywood. During the production of The Immoralist, Dean had an affair with actress Geraldine Page. Page remained friends with Dean until his death and kept a number of personal mementos from the play, including several drawings by him. Her daughter, Angelica, said of their relationship, "According to my mother, their affair went on for 3.5 months. In many ways, my mother never really got over Jimmy. It was not unusual for me to go to her dressing room through the years, obviously many years after Dean was gone, and find pictures of him taped up on her mirror. My mother never forgot about Jimmy, never. I believe they were artistic soulmates. In 1953, director Elia Kazan was looking for an actor to play the emotionally complex role of Cal Trask for the movie adaptation of John Steinbeck's 1952 novel, East of Eden. The book deals with the story of the Trask and Hamilton families over the course of three generations, focusing especially on the lives of the latter two generations in Salinas Valley, California, from the mid-19th century through the 1910s. In contrast to the book, the film script focused on the last portion of the story, predominantly with the character of Cal. Though he initially seems more aloof and emotionally troubled than his twin brother Aaron, Cal is soon seen to be more worldly, business savvy, and even sagacious than their pious and constantly disapproving father, who seeks to invent a vegetable refrigeration process. Cal is bothered by the mystery of their supposedly dead mother and discovers she's still alive and a brothel-keeping madam, a part that was played by actress Jo Van Fleet. Before casting Cal, director Elia Kazan said he wanted a Brando for the role, and Osborne suggested Dean, a relatively unknown young actor. Dean met with Steinbeck, who did not like the moody, complex young man personally, but thought him to be perfect for the part. Dean was cast in the role, and on April 8, 1954, left New York City and headed for Los Angeles to begin shooting. Much of Dean's performance in the film was unscripted, including his dance in the beanfield and his fetal-like posturing while riding on top of a train boxcar after searching out his mother in nearby Monterey. The best-known improvised sequence of the film occurs when Cal's father rejects his gift of $5,000, money Cal earned by speculating in beans before the U.S. became involved in World War I. Instead of running away from his father as the script called for, Dean instinctively turned to Massey and, in a gesture of extreme emotion, lunged forward and grabbed him in a full embrace, crying. Kazan kept this and Massey's shocked reaction in the film. Dean's performance in the film foreshadowed his role as Jim Stark in Rebel Without a Cause. Both characters are angst-ridden protagonists and misunderstood outcasts, desperately craving approval from their fathers. In recognition of his performance in East of Eden, Dean was nominated for the 1956 Academy Awards as Best Actor in a Leading Role. It became the first official posthumous acting nomination in Academy Awards history. East of Eden was the only film starring Dean that he would see released in his lifetime. Rebel Without a Cause would prove to be hugely popular among teenagers. It has been cited as an accurate representation of teenage angst. Following East of Eden and Rebel Without a Cause, Dean wanted to avoid being typecast as a rebellious teenager like Cal Trask or Jim Stark, and so he took on the role of Jet Rink. Rink was a Texan ranch hand who strikes oil and becomes wealthy in the film Giant, released in 1956. The movie portrays a number of decades in the lives of Bick Benedict, a Texas rancher played by Rock Hudson. His wife, Leslie, was played by Elizabeth Taylor. To portray an older version of his character in the film's later scenes, Dean dyed his hair gray and shaved some of it off to give himself a receding hairline. Giant would prove to be Dean's last film. At the end of the film, Dean was supposed to make a drunken speech at a banquet. This is sometimes called the Last Supper because it is the last scene before his death. Dean received his second posthumous Best Actor Academy Award nomination for his role in Giant at the 29th Academy Awards. According to screenwriter William Bast, Dean dated Beverly Wills, an actress with CBS, and Jeanette Lewis, a classmate. Bast and Dean often double-dated. Bast, who was also Dean's first biographer, would not confirm whether he and Dean had a sexual relationship until 2006. In his book, Surviving James Dean, Bast was more open about the nature of their relationship, writing that they had been lovers one night while staying in a hotel in Borrego Springs. In 1996, actress Liz Sheridan detailed her relationship with Dean in New York in 1952, saying it was just kind of magical. It was the first love for both of us. While living in New York, Dean was introduced to actress Barbara Glenn by their mutual friend, Martin Lando. They dated for 2 years, often breaking up and getting back together. Early in Dean's career, after he signed his contract with Warner Brothers, the studio's public relations department began generating stories about Dean's liaisons with a variety of young actresses who were mostly drawn from the clientele of Dean's Hollywood agent, Dick Clayton. Studio press releases also grouped Dean together with two other actors, Rock Hudson and Tab Hunter, identifying each of them as eligible bachelors who had not yet found the time to commit to a single woman. Dean's best remembered relationship was with young Italian actress Pier Angeline. They met while she was shooting The Silver Chalice in 1954 on an adjoining Warner lot. Angeline, during an interview 14 years after their relationship ended, described their times together saying, "We used to go together to the California coast and stay there secretly in a cottage on a beach far away from prying eyes. We'd spend much of our time on the beach, sitting there or fooling around, just like college kids. We would talk about ourselves and our problems, about the movies and acting, about life and life after death. We had a complete understanding of each other. We were like Romeo and Juliet, together and inseparable. Sometimes on the beach, we loved each other so much, we just wanted to walk together into the sea holding hands because we knew then that we would always be together." Dean was quoted saying about Angeline, "Everything about Pier is beautiful, especially her soul. She doesn't have to be all gussied up. She doesn't have to do or say anything. She's just wonderful as she is. She has a rare insight into life." Those who believe Dean and Angeline were deeply in love claimed that a number of forces led them apart. Anjali's mother disapproved of Dean's casual dress and what were, for her at least, unacceptable behavior traits. His t-shirt attire, late dates, fast cars, drinking, and the fact that he was not a Catholic. In addition, Warner Brothers, where he worked, tried to talk him out of marrying. Richard Davalos, Dean's East of Eden co-star, claimed that Dean wanted to marry Anjali and was willing to allow their children to be brought up Catholic. An order for the solemnization of marriage pamphlet with the name Pierre lightly penciled in every place the bride's name is left blank was found amongst Dean's personal effects after his death. After finishing his role for East of Eden, Dean took a brief trip to New York in October 1954. While he was away, Anjali unexpectedly announced her engagement to Italian-American singer Vic Damone. The press was shocked, and Dean publicly expressed his dismay. Anjali married Damone the following month. Gossip columnists reported that Dean watched the wedding from across the road on his motorcycle, even gunning the engine during the ceremony, although Dean later denied doing anything so dumb. Joe Hyams, in his 1992 biography of Dean, James Dean, Little Boy Lost, claims that he visited with Dean just as Anjali, then married to Damone, was leaving his home. Dean was crying and allegedly told Hyams she was pregnant, with Hyams concluding that Dean believed the child might be his. Anjali, who divorced Damone and then her second husband, was said by friends in the last years of her life to claim that Dean was the love of her life. She died from an overdose of barbiturates in 1971 at the age of 39. In 1954, Dean became interested in racing and motorsport. He purchased various vehicles after filming for East of Eden had wrapped, including a Triumph Tiger and a Porsche 356. Just before filming began, on Rebel Without a Cause, he competed in his first professional event at the Palm Springs Road Races. He won first place in the novice class and second place at the main event. His racing continued in Bakersfield a month later, where he finished first in his class and third overall. Dean hoped to compete in the Indianapolis 500, but his busy schedule made it impossible. His final race occurred in Santa Barbara on Memorial Day, May 30th, 1955, but he was unable to finish the competition due to a blown piston. His brief career was put on hold when Warner Brothers barred him from all racing during the production of Giant. Dean had finished shooting his scenes, and the movie was in post-production when he decided to race again. Longing to return to motor racing, Dean traded in his speedster for a new, more powerful and faster 1955 Porsche 550 Spyder. He entered the upcoming Salinas Road Race event scheduled for October 1st to 2nd, 1955. Accompanying the actor on his way to the track on September 30th was stunt coordinator Bill Hickman, Collier's photographer Sanford Roth, and Rolf Wutherich, the German mechanic from the Porsche factory who maintained Dean's Spider. Wutherich, who had encouraged Dean to drive the car from Los Angeles to Salinas to break it in, accompanied Dean in the Porsche. At 3:30 p.m., Dean was ticketed for speeding, as was Hickman, who was following behind in another car. At approximately 5:45 p.m., as the group was driving westbound on Route 466 near Chelome, California, a 1950 Ford Tudor, driven by 23-year-old Cal Poly student Donald Turnipseed, was traveling east. Turnipseed made a left turn onto Highway 41 headed north, toward Fresno, ahead of the oncoming Porsche. Dean, unable to stop in time, slammed into the passenger side of the Ford, resulting in his car bouncing across the pavement onto the side of the highway. His passenger, Wutherich, was thrown from the car, while Dean was trapped inside and sustained numerous fatal injuries, including a broken neck. Turnipseed escaped with minor injuries. The accident was witnessed by a number of passersby who stopped to help. A woman with nursing experience attended to Dean and detected a weak pulse, but death appeared to have been instantaneous. Dean was pronounced dead on arrival shortly after he arrived by ambulance at the hospital at 6:20 p.m. Though initially slow to reach newspapers in the eastern United States, details of Dean's death rapidly spread via radio and television. By October 2nd, his death had received significant coverage from domestic and foreign media outlets. His funeral was held on October 8, 1955, at the Fairmount Friends Church in Fairmount, Indiana. The coffin remained closed to conceal his severe injuries. An estimated 600 mourners were in attendance, while another 2,400 fans gathered outside of the building during the procession. He is buried at Park Cemetery in Fairmount, second road to the right from the main entrance, and up the hill on the right, facing the drive. An inquest into Dean's death occurred 3 days later at the council chambers in San Luis Obispo, where the sheriff coroner's jury delivered a verdict that he was entirely at fault due to speeding, and that Turnipseed was innocent of any criminal act. James Dean was just 24 years old when he died.